You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers. In 2005, long-lost letters from the Pabst and Best families were found at Pabst Farms in Oconomowoc. Once discovered, they were moved to the basement of the Pabst Mansion in Milwaukee. And what those letters said wouldn't be known for more than a decade. The letters were written between 1841 to 1887 in an old German script, so deciphering them required the expertise of UWM's Translation and Interpreting Studies program. A partnership was formed between the program and the Pabst Mansion in the spring of 2020, and graduate students Nastasia Meyer and Marissa Irwin tackled this challenge. Meyer and Irwin joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about the challenges of translating the Best and Pabst family letters. Irwin begins by explaining how they became involved in this project.
Jocelyn Slocum, who is the curator of collections at the Pabst Mansion, she discovered this box in 2018, and she started to archive the letters, but she was unable to actually read or understand what they said because they were written in this old German handwriting style. It's called Kurrenschrift, and it was last used in 1941. So most people, even native Germans, do not know how to read this today. So Jocelyn reached out to the translation program at UWM to see if anybody would be interested in transcribing and translating these letters. And that's how this partnership started between the Pabst Mansion and UWM, with our associate professor, Victoria Billich, leading the charge from the UWM side of things. And that's where the two of us then joined the project.
So with this specific German script, how old is this language and when was the last time it was predominantly used by German speakers?
So this type of script is based on medieval cursive. And it's been around since then in various forms. And this particular type that we were dealing with was predominant in the 19th century. And it wasn't until about 1911 that somebody came up with a slightly more simplified version called Zitterlin. That became the mainly taught alphabet in German schools up until about the early 1940s. And it's really around World War II that it kind of falls out of favor. It's not taught in schools anymore. So when the Pabst family was writing, this was the way of writing. That was pretty much what you would read in any letter, any handwriting, any correspondence.
And I know Milwaukee had several German language newspapers, especially just showing its roots of the heavy German population and influence here. And in order to work up to the translation process, I imagine there's a lot of background that needed to be laid, you know, a lot of groundwork. So what was your process like and what did you need to do before you could even dive into the letters to then translate to English?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think a lot of times when people hear translation, they kind of think, okay, I know this language, I know the other language, I know the word, I'll look it up in the dictionary, one for one, I'm done. Any translation, unfortunately, is a little bit more involved in that, but historical translation in general, you add on this whole layer of just historical research that you need to do in archives, in parallel document sources, because you're trying to get the language of the time right. Especially for historians, the reason that they're interested in a grouping of letters beyond just, you know, what was life like in the 1850s, it's to see what the language was like and how it changed from, you know, 1850 to 1900. Especially with these letters, you saw the influence of the U.S. of Milwaukee in the German that they were using in these letters. So as a translator, it's crucial to actually get the proper language of that time. So before we could even dive into translation, we had to first transcribe it and transcribe it correctly. Because if you don't have the proper transcription, you're not going to have the right translation. As with handwriting, even nowadays, every single person has a different handwriting style. So after you learn the basic Kurrenschrift, then you are faced with a whole new series of letters since everybody writes their A slightly different. And then on top of that, you have all of these names and places being mentioned, but with no context, because it's being written to somebody who's in their family. So as a translator, you need to try to piece together who these people are, how they're all connected. Is this a family member? Is this a friend? Is this a business associate that they don't like? Is this a competitor? There's a lot of mention actually of various brewers that were all the competitors of the Pabst family at the time. So learning what the dynamics of the relationships were like through small clues. I know for my letters, I had between the sister-in-law and the wife of the Pabst family, like the matriarch of the family. And it was really interesting because in German, there's two different forms of you. There's the formal you, and then there's the informal you. Normally, if you're speaking between family members, you're going to use the informal since you're part of the family. This sister-in-law actually used the formal you, which kind of shows that there was a, I don't know if they got along necessarily, but there was definitely some tension felt in these letters. So as a translator, I had to try to figure out what language to use to reflect these little family dynamics for somebody who doesn't know that there's two different, you know, versions of you.
Yeah, and that's so interesting to hear, like, okay, what subtext can I pick up on from these letters from how many decades ago? And you mentioned it's both personal, business letters, daily correspondence, but did either of you have a favorite letter or a favorite thing that kind of stuck out?
There was one letter by an Anna Gärtner, and I'm not exactly sure who she was. And I put her name to Jocelyn Slocum at Pabst Mansion, and she did kind of know of her. But in terms of their relationship, or her relationship with the family, it's not too clear. However, it seemed like she was the good friend of Maria Best, who was the matriarch. And she wrote this very, very long, effusive letter that was had the most erratic punctuation and spelling and lots of exclamation points. And you could tell her personality really came through in this letter, where she is so excited to be talking to Maria and so excited to be telling her about all these things. It's full of a lot of religious inspirational language, but also talking about how happy she is about it being Christmas and how much fun she's having with all the children around the Christmas tree. And that was actually pretty fun to translate, because I had to figure out, how do I show this enthusiasm? How do I make a convincing translation of this woman's personality in this letter?
How did these letters give you a deeper picture into local history? Or at least, do you think it was unique in that these letters were from a relatively influential family? Or do you think this is a pretty accurate depiction of that era of life?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Milwaukee, as you can probably tell by my accent. But I actually grew up, I went to the Milwaukee German Immersion School here in Milwaukee. And we grew up hearing about the major influence of German in Milwaukee. But as you know, 7 and 8 year olds, we didn't really understand it. You saw names, you heard about the breweries. I know when you walk downtown, you see, you know, the Pabst shield, or you see the Pabst mansion itself. But seeing the amount of German that was used, and that you could survive and be in the elite society speaking German, was really incredible. And then not only that, but then as you're translating, some of my letters mentioned their social circle, and you had the likes of the Pfisters, which obviously the Pfister Hotel. So it was equal parts. It showed you how influential these people were even back then. I mean, we've seen the buildings nowadays, but it's really easy to think, oh, you know, like you don't associate the actual family with the name. It's kind of this like nondescript entity, but learning about the individual people made me feel a little closer to the names. I now have this personal connection with, you know, Pabst Brewery. Not that I needed another excuse to have a beer, but you know, this is, it's research now. but just to see that Milwaukee was actually known as the German Athens in the United States, because German was so prevalent in the 1850s to the early 1900s, that as a German immigrant, you did not need to speak English. There were schools, there were churches, there were newspapers, as you mentioned earlier. And so these letters really highlighted that German was not only spoken throughout all of Milwaukee, but it was spoken by the elite.
With this project, UWM is one of three schools in the entire country with a graduate program for German to English translation. So what was this experience like for you both as graduate students to work on a, you know, tactile project, immersing yourself?
Well, I think a lot of times you think of an internship as being something you kind of have to get through in order to get your foot in the door. And this is definitely a case where I really enjoyed the internship to the point where it's like, it didn't matter that it was just an internship, that it was unpaid or, you know, anything like that. This was real research. It was real substantial. It was really making an impact on the understanding of the history of Milwaukee and of Germans in America. And so it felt very important, and I was very pleased and honored to be part of it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I could not have said it any better than Stassi. But I think on top of that, for us personally, it was really nice to actually work with somebody else. I mean, have this collaborative environment. Translators usually get the rap for being antisocial. You're sitting alone by your computer in some dark cave. Like, you don't like people. You don't.
One lamp is shining on you.
Yes. So it's seen as this really solitary thing. And I think that's doing a disservice to what translation can be and how useful it can be to actually have collaborators and have this environment where you're not afraid to bounce ideas off of each other. So in addition to having each other, where we were both, you know, learning the script together, we could commiserate about, oh man, like, I could not figure this out. I sat and stared at this word for 2 hours. Knowing somebody else was having the same problem made you feel a lot better. But then having somebody in the Pabst mansion in the form of Jocelyn, so we could ask, okay, I saw this name. Can you tell me anything that you have on it? It helped because we could focus then on the actual translation and getting our language right. We didn't have to necessarily go through archives of things that had already been discovered and already were, you know, documented. And then having our professor working with us too. She's done a lot of work in historical translation. So it was really nice to have this guide and this mentor. We are a completely online program. We always have been. So I think it's really easy sometimes to not make that connection with your other graduate students. So this was a really fun project to be able to get to know Stassi on both a personal and a professional level.
So the project for you both, the internship, has been done, but how many letters did you get through and how many remain?
Yeah, so I actually looked this up. I did a little bit of research. So there are around 350 documents in this total collection. Between the two of us, we did roughly 28 of these documents. So there is still a lot of work to be done. I know the project was envisioned to be a 3 to 5 year project between the Pabst Mansion and UWM. So there will probably be a new set of graduate students working on another series of letters in the summers to come.
Nastasia Meyer and Marissa Irwin are two graduate students from UW-Milwaukee's Translation and Interpreting Studies program. They helped translate letters from the Pabst and Best families, and they spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.